God is at work in our lives in different ways at different times. And we encourage each other to share it, to be real. So thank you both, Roxy and Ryan, for sharing what you did this morning. I want to speak about something that impacts every person here. Speak about something that can seem to speed up, slow down, slip away, stand still, waits for no one, and eventually runs out. Speak about time. Time. Busyness. Beating busyness. How do we do that? How do we do that? And I have got all the answers this morning. I am someone who just knows it all on this. Sue said, as I got up to speak, really? as Andy said what I was speaking on, she said, really? And this is because, actually, this week I ran out of time. It was one of those weeks where I didn't start some things I'd wanted to start. Time ran away, and I was there thinking, I'm preaching on Sunday on time, and it's running out. And this is something. So I'm speaking to myself. So again, as usual, I'm preaching to myself. If it helps you, I'm delighted, but really this is all for me. I know that people here with incredibly demanding jobs, there are people here with significant family issues, some people with very young families, demanding young families. I remember when we had small children and staying in the office was at times bit of a preferable to heading home, and I'd arrive home and catch one by one leg, one the other, as they came out the door, and Sue said, it's your turn. It wasn't really quite that bad, but you know, anyone who's been a parent knows that at times it's just you don't feel like you have time. And then I know numbers of you are supporting elderly parents now, others of you are supporting grandchildren, and I don't meet anyone who sort of comes up to me and says, oh, Simon, just, I have so much time, I just don't know what to do with it. And if that is you, Coglets, Tuesday afternoon, that's where you should be. We're all affected by time. We find it running out. But I believe that actually, for some of us, we're controlled by time. Rather than controlling time, we are controlled by time. And so what I want to speak about today is how do we get back control of time so that we are not being controlled, but we are controlling our time. And I believe, you know, many of us at times will feel like we're out of control. We'll feel like there's just too much going on. We're not getting things done. We're guilty about not seeing people we should have seen or spending time with the people we want to spend time with. And I want to challenge us all this morning to take time back. To take time back. I need to start by sharing a pet hate with you. I hate the word busy. I hate it. I hate it. If you hear me using the word busy, you have permission to slap me. Not hard, because I don't like pain either. But I hate the word busy. You know, you see someone, how are you? I'm busy. Oh, you're busy, I'm busy. You're busy, I'm busier than you're busy. I can raise your busy with a double busy. My busy is being more important than your busy. Yeah, and you see it, and you don't quite have those conversations, but sometimes it's close. It's like if you're not busy, you're not important. So we all say we're busy, and it means nothing. You say to someone, how are you? I'm busy. It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. What I'd much rather someone said to me if I said, how are you, is, right now, work is really full on. I've got a number of significant deadlines that I'm concerned about. Family pressure is going on around me at the moment. But I'm okay. My rhythm's good. I'm in control. I believe God is in the heavens, and I'm all right. Or, right now, life is a mess. I'm out of control. Time's out of control. Can you help me? Do you know someone else who can help me? I need to sit down with someone because, actually, I've lost complete control of time. Rather than, oh, I'm busy. I'm busy. Oh, you're busy. I'm busy. Yeah, we're busy. Please don't use the word busy. I hate it. When I was at college, I studied a business and finance course. This was back in the 80s, many years ago, and I remember a lecturer standing at the front of college and saying this, because a part of the course was a computer course, and saying this, do you know, in 20 years' time, computers are going to be so advanced that they will be doing so much of your job that you will only be having a 20-hour week. This is it. Straight up, this is what the lecturer said. They then put a picture of a tennis court on the screen and said, start planning your leisure time. How wrong were they? How wrong were they? The reality is, yes, computers have advanced dramatically. But there's numbers of people in here whose bosses can get in touch with them in their pocket right now. You know, whose work emails are never off. Just as an aside, I switched my work email off my phone during the sabbatical. I haven't switched it back on. I thought, why? You know, why do I have work email on my phone? I have other ways of getting email, iPad, computer. Why do I have it on my phone? And some of you come up to me afterwards and say, Simon, you don't understand. If I get a work email, I have to answer it within a nanosecond or the world will end. Guys, we live lies. We get caught up into this controlled by time thing. And we all play the game. We all get into it. And it becomes almost a god to us. And the reality is, you know, we find that we put, you know, screens now. Andy spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. I'm not going there again. But again, I recognize we have challenging times. We have full seasons. We have significant family demands, significant deadlines. But are we in control? Or are they controlling us? Now, I recognize that even here this morning, some of you have made a sacrifice by coming this morning. And I want to commend you for that. I want to commend you because you have got work that you might have to do this afternoon, lesson plans, spreadsheets. There might be things in your day later that you're going to have to do as work. But I'm grateful to you for coming to church. Because right at the start of your week, you're saying, I'm putting God first. I'm saying, I want to glorify you, God. I want to see you glorified in my life, in my workplace, in the way I live, in the way that I work. So I'm putting you first. I want to worship you. I want you to speak to me. I want to live my life reflecting your glory and goodness. I want to help people to flourish. Now, God, help me to live in your rhythms. And we've talked about this before. I don't believe people flourish unless they are living in God's rhythms. Help me to live in your rhythms and ensure that you are the God of my calendar as well, that you are God of my time. This is just the verse that as I was preparing for this, I was thinking about, and I've been thinking about all week as I've been desperately trying to get things done. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So what's the psalmist getting at here? What's he saying? He's not actually encouraging us to count our days. As we get older, time does seem to go faster. I was talking to my son Luke last night and struggled to believe that it was 5 years ago this month that we had our interview for the job at Cogs. And we were both going, wow, that was amazing. It was probably about 5 years ago this weekend that Sue and I snuck in and sat there and none of you spotted us. And then during the service, there was a net and you prayed for the new vicar and you were all encouraged to write something down and put it in the net. And I nearly wrote down, his name is Simon, walked up to the front and slipped it into the net, but thought that'd be naughty. That was 5 years ago. That's five. Time flies. It goes past so quickly. The sense in the psalm here is not count, number your days as in count them. It's number your days as in make the most of them. Make the most of them. And indeed, the psalmist is implying that actually life is short. Make the most of it. And the truth is, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know. But we can make the most of the present. We can make the most of today. We can make the most of what is right in front of us. So let's make the most of the time we have. Let's value the time we have and not take it for granted. Do you control your time, or does time control you? Take back control of time. Number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This is what it's all about. It's about gaining wisdom. Leading a wise life, a life that recognizes the value of time, a life that recognizes the value of relationships and seeks to put the first things first, the right things first. Have you ever met someone who is passionate about something and it absolutely consumes their life? Nearly 20 years ago, we had the privilege of going to Vancouver Island, staying there for a couple of nights. It's the most beautiful place, one of my favourite places in the world. It's truly wonderful. And we went to Vancouver Island, and we stayed at a place called Tofino, and we went to the fishmongers to buy some salmon, because the salmon was really cheap at that time. I can't remember the pound or whatever. So you could buy a whole salmon for silly money, really, really cheap. So we went to buy a salmon. And we went into this fishmonger's, and there's a young guy sort of serving behind, there's lots of hair, and serving behind the counter. And I said to him, I saw there's some crabs there. And I said, oh, do you sell any dressed crabs? Because I always thought if it was a dressed crab, it was already prepared for you. I thought that's what it meant. He said, what, like wearing little skirts and running around? I said, no. No, I said, don't worry. I said, have you got any salmon? He said, no, we've not got any, but we're getting some in this afternoon. I said, well, if I ring back, can I get some salmon? And so he said, yeah. I said, what time do you close? He said, 5. I said, great, I'll ring at 4. So 4 o'clock, I rang and said, have you got any salmon in? He said, yes, but get here now, we're closing. And I'm like, okay. So I ran down, got to the shop, he's packing everything up madly. I said, I thought you closed at 5. Surf's up! And he was closing because he was going surfing, and the surf was up, and he wasn't interested in selling fish. He was interested in surfing. He was selling fish so that he could surf. And there's a shop there called in Tofino, where we were, called Live to Surf. And I got this sweatshirt with Live to Surf. I think there you go. That was their logo. It says Live to Surf Tofino. I had a sweatshirt with that on. I went back to London. I thought, this is great. I'm going to talk about living to surf, having a passion that actually you put first, and you put it, and that you have this passion. And I did preach this. I thought it was a great sermon on Live to Surf. And then afterwards, someone came up to me and said, Live to Surf. I didn't quite, anyway, didn't work. But I'm talking about that next week, but have you, you met someone whose passion, you know, when you meet them, you know their passion. You know what it is. And I suppose part of my question is, what is your passion? We might have a hobby. We might say our family. But how many of us would say our passion is the kingdom of God? Our passion is the kingdom of God. Because if you want to control time, here's the thing. Seek first the kingdom of God. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, I want to suggest that there are many people who are very passionate about things, but as Christians, we should be passionate about seeking first the kingdom of God. And if we seek first the kingdom of God, all those things will be given to you as well. Now, what does that actually mean? What does that look like? There's a book that was written by Bill Hybels, Too Busy Not to Pray. Too Busy Not to Pray. Because the reality is that for many of us, when life gets out of control, we stop seeking first the kingdom of God. It's the first thing to go are things like time with God. You know, we don't pray. We stop praying. We try and do it all in our own strength. We try and sort the time out and we're going to fill this time. It's okay, I can make it work. And we don't have a routine that puts God first, that seeks his kingdom first, that gets a perspective back on life. Because that's what seeking God's kingdom is about. It's about getting the perspective back on life, on that he is in control. He is king. He can help us whatever we're facing. So I want to suggest to you that the first thing you should do every day, and forgive me, I know many of you do this, but I believe actually for some of us, we've maybe stopped doing it or never done it or lost sight that this actually is really important. But the first thing every day is seek first the kingdom of God. Now, some of you think, oh, Simon, you don't know my morning. You don't know my morning. It's a nightmare. I just haven't got any time. Can you tell me what you're doing the 15 minutes before your alarm goes off? Okay, just move it back 15 minutes. So I'm not saying spend hours in prayer. I'm saying spend at least 15 minutes. Just, and suddenly thinking, well, actually the alarm is the children waking me up. Maybe when they've gone to bed at night, spend 15 minutes. 15 minutes seeking first the kingdom. And you might say, oh, Simon, but if I get up 15 minutes earlier, I'll be tired. What time do you go to bed? Pull it back 15 minutes. Pull it back, because actually most people waste time at night. Yeah, that's the time people waste. And I'm sorry, this sounds ridiculously patronizing. Even as I wrote it, I thought, this sounds ridiculously patronizing. I am telling adults, these are not my children who I have to tell to go to bed and try to get out of bed in the morning. But actually, I I'm very unsuccessful usually. But actually, folks, sometimes we don't seek first the kingdom of God because our patterns are just not there. We don't give 15 minutes. So a couple of the things I do, so you know this, when I get up in the morning, I go for a walk. As I walk out of the gate of the priory, I say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I declare, it's just one line. I declare that line. This is the day the Lord has... I remember that I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. I want this to come before everything else in my day. And then something I sometimes pray as I'm walking around that field is, I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, belief in the threeness, confession of the oneness of the creator of creation. And some of you are thinking, Simon, you're barking mad. What on earth does that mean? Some of you will have recognized, it's the first stanza of the prayer of St. Patrick, where he was declaring, I arise today in God's strength. I put him first. If you don't know the prayer of St. Patrick, it's a great prayer. But I don't know it all, so I just go for the first stanza. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, belief in the threeness, confession of the oneness of the creator of creation. I seek your kingdom first. And then I try every morning to spend some time reading my Bible and praying. And I do it more mornings than I don't, but some mornings I don't. Some mornings, and even this morning, I was tempted to just get on with just reading through my sermon again, preparing, thinking, I'm about to go and preach in church. And I thought, Simon, you're going to tell the church about seeking first, I think God spoke to me, about seeking first his kingdom, and you're getting straight into your work. Stop. Read your Bible. Pray. Then do it. You know, and this week has been full on. At times I've felt it's been that I'm not going to be getting everything done. But every day I've sought first his kingdom. And so I haven't felt out of control. At times I've felt pressure. But I haven't felt that things have gone. Now some of you think, oh, 15 minutes in the morning really hard. Well, I just encourage you through your day as well. Just think of times of the day when you can pray for a couple of minutes, when you can recenter, when you can seek his kingdom first again. Most people stop for lunch. Often when you stop for lunch, you might say thank you to God. But just at that moment, say 12 o'clock, say, God, if I'm losing control again of the day, I just invite you back to be at the center of this day, at the center of what I'm doing, making a difference in these conversations I'm having, these meetings I'm going to. Putting time. The Benedictines, and indeed some of the other religious orders, they would have certain times of the day when they'd pray, 7 or 8 times, every day at certain times. Now, I'm not suggesting that, but actually, I am suggesting that for some of us, we need to think, when are my appointments with God? Because we've stopped making appointments with God. And as a result, we're not seeking first his kingdom. If you want to take control of your time, it starts with seeking his kingdom first. It starts with a declaration that says, I'm in control of my time and of my day, and I am giving it to God because he is my king. And when he is in control of my life, my time, my day, everything works so much better. I'm going to pray for us. Lord God, we recognize the pressures of life. We recognise the demands that we all face from family, from work, from friends, the demands. But Lord, we want to be people who are seeking first your kingdom, who are putting you first, and who are seeing as we put you first how life makes more sense. We want to number our days so that we might walk in wisdom. We want to be wiser people. And so I pray for anyone this morning who is feeling particularly out of control. Pray right now that you would meet with them and say, it's going to be okay. Seek first my kingdom. I pray you would reassure them.
I get a sense as well that there's certain people feeling that pressure, and that pressure that happens as we sometimes we can hear a message and it adds more pressure. And God wants to reassure you this is not something that he wants you to be burdened by, but that he will lift burdens as we turn to him, as we seek him. And so, Lord, we trust you. We trust you that you will, as we come to you and put you first, that you will put things in order, in your order, releasing us and giving us freedom as we put our trust in you. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Father, we pray for that release, that freedom to come now. And as we worship you, Lord, as we seek to put you first, come and meet with us again. Remind us of your great love that sets us free.